This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
It is another Saturday morning in CCO land, in time to talk cars or your truck, your van, whatever you're having problems with. This is your opportunity to ask Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive a question about your vehicle, why you're having these problems, what's going on here. This is, maybe we should call it Ask the Auto Mechanic, or maybe more modern, Ask the Auto Technician. What do you think, Nick? Can you be called either?
I like Grease Monkey.
you do like the old term.
It is funny how it's evolved, it's changed. You know, I think what we should talk about is air conditioning, looking at this forecast.
I know, we're just going to ask you that. There are going to be people calling in come Monday about, maybe they've done so already, about, hey, wait a minute, I thought I had a little saving, you know, a few months here before I have to deal with it. But yeah, we're going to be close to 90 for a couple days in the next few days. So I bet you do get some questions about that. Now, you we talked about AC and kind of detective work and finding out where that leak is coming from, if indeed that's the problem with a certain vehicle. How do your technicians do that? Is there kind of like a ultraviolet light and you turn off the lights and there's a smoke coming out of where the leak is? What is the process of that?
Well, there is a dye where you do use the ultraviolet light to find that dye. So what happens is somebody might come in, you know, at some point and say their condition is not working as well as it once was, or it's not working at all. We need to determine if it's a refrigerant issue or something else. You know, there can be an electrical issue with the compressor, something with the control panel, but it is most common to have a leak. And what we'll do is we'll evacuate, figure out the level of refrigerant, refill it to the proper level, add a little bit of dye to that. Now, while it's in the shop, we'll run it and, you know, allow the system to pressurize and, you know, look around with our black light and try to find the source of that leak. Oftentimes, though, it's a small leak where you won't see it, so we'll have the customer take the vehicle, drive it for a week or two, bring the vehicle back in, knowing that at that point it's had time to kind of work its way through the system. And once again, we'll take another look, and usually you can find that that dye with the black light and try to figure out the source of the leak and then come up with a game plan to fix it.
All right. Want to alert our listeners, Nick, if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us, by the way. But our time goes by so quickly. Nick is with us till just about 7:45. So if you have any issues with the car or truck or van that you own and you need to bring it in for service, but you want to know ahead of the game what could be ailing, call Nick or text Nick sooner rather than later. Here's the number, 651-461-9226. Again, call or text 651-461-9226. 9226. Texter did write in earlier this morning about a 2021 Kia Forte, or Fort if you prefer. It's got about 46,000 miles on it, has been driven about 250 miles a week, mostly freeway miles. Texter says, I am retiring, so the mileage will be going way down. And there's a question we get from time to time. Should the servicing, make the oil change, among other things, be done by time or by mileage?
The answer is yes. You know, that's why oftentimes you have the time and the mileage on that sticker. Now, if you're really going way down, you could probably extend the time some. You know, what I would say, you know, I'd like to see it done on the off seasons. I mean, it'd be nice to have it done in the fall and the spring. Therefore, we get a good look at the vehicle headed into the winter. You know, we want to be worried about, like, tires and such. And then coming out of the winter, we worry about potholes and such. So, you know, I think those spring and fall is at least twice a year to get a good shakedown of the vehicle, a good assessment, see if there's any wear and tear, any need-to-do items before we change those seasons.
I would imagine that from time to time you and your crew get vehicles in that have high mileage and are really old but have been very well taken care of, and they've lasted. I'm looking at a text, Nick, from a listener who said, I still have my, quote, old American dream. Still runs. I've had the car for 46 years. It's not my daily driver anymore, however. 46 years now. Have you seen evidence of that, people coming in with vehicles that they regularly maintain that are pretty old?
Absolutely. And, you know, we don't see them that old anymore. That's right. Not really in our wheelhouse. But we'll see cars, you know, 15, 20 years old, 300,000 miles. And it's amazing is the two things you can do, the maintenance, follow that maintenance interval schedule, and then wash the vehicle. And we've talked about it, you know, as we transition into the winter months is, you know, spend the extra dollar, have them spray the undercarriage too, because the integrity of the rust, the effect the rust has on a lot of suspension components and the chassis can be really hard as the car ages. So, you know, follow that maintenance schedule the best you can, wash the vehicle periodically, and I think you'll find out that the car stays on the road in better condition much longer.
I was looking at, and we'll get to maybe some questions, a video. Of course, on the internet, everything is true, right? But this guy looked like a mechanic. He looked like there were bays behind him, like he was actually in a shop, and he's talking about various things that are true or false or whatever. Maybe we'll get to some of those things. But in the meantime, I'm looking at some other texts that have come in. And again, don't wait. We'd love to hear from you. You don't have to be a motorhead or anything. If you drive and have problems and you want to know what could be wrong, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. A texter says this. Let me see if I can find it. It just jumped. How does a person know, it's a good question, if a vehicle needs rotors and pads or just pads?
To be honest, it's most common to replace the rotors. If you're old enough and you go back years and years ago, you know, the rotors, oftentimes you'd resurface them, maybe for one or two brake jobs. A couple things have changed in the time. First off, our brake pads have evolved. You know, you'll get 60,000 miles or so out of a set of brake pads. They're a ceramic-based pad, and a lot of engineering into the designing of them to make them last that long. Where years ago, they were more of like an organic pad where you might get 20 to 30,000 miles. So the pads are lasting twice as long for sure. Also, in order to kind of maintain and meet our fuel economy type requirements, the brake rotors have gotten lighter. You know, they've learned that rotating weight does affect the mileage, so the brake rotors become thinner, lighter, so they wear a lot quicker. They don't dissipate the heat as well because they're thinner, so they're more common to warp, especially if you try to, you know, resurface them and reuse them through a second brake job. So, and the prices are much better than they used to be also for that fact. So I would say it's most common that you can do the pads and rotors as a complete job. It doesn't mean that you have to. You know, there's ways around it, but just keep in mind you might get midway through that brake job, and then you have a pulsation or you have some other issues with your brakes that will require you to, at that point, take it all apart and replace them. So I think the best practice would be to do the pads, rotors together, clean the slides, clean the hub surfaces, make sure the calipers are all lubricated and working well to give you the best chance of having a good long second brake job.
Yeah, very good. Nick, let's grab a phone call before we take a break. Bob is checking in from New Brighton this morning. Thanks for calling, Bob. What's your question for Nick?
Yeah, good morning. I have a 2008 Buick LaCerne, and It has burned out three fuel pump relays in about the last 3 weeks or so. And so it has kind of destroyed the fuse box, which I'm replacing. So I'm wondering, is the fuel pump being responsible that's shorting or something that fuses and causing it to burn out that relay?
Well, you're saying that, you know, it damaged the relay. It sounds like it's damaged the panel itself where the relay plugs into. That tells me there's an excessive amount of current going through there. You mentioned the fuel pump could be a good possibility. Could also be a connection somewhere that's causing high resistance. When there's high resistance, more current is going to flow through that circuit. Those circuits are designed to only handle so much current. Once it, you know, exceeds that, at some point it's going to blow the fuse. But if it's not at that point, it's going to potentially, in this case, damage the relay or the where it plugs into. So I think before you just go and replace that panel, as it sits now, let's get a new relay in there, get somebody with an amp meter, and start doing some amp draws to try to figure out where that excessive current is happening, you know, through resistance or what have. Maybe it is the pump. Maybe the pump is starting to see the end of its life, and it's working too hard. It's working too hard, so it's pulling more current, and it's pulling that through the circuitry there. So I think before you just go and put a new panel in there with the risk of damaging it, figure out why that's happening. So get somebody with an amp meter, do a current test, and figure out where that source is.
All right. Hang on, Nick. We'll take a quick break here and come right back with more. Keep in mind that Nick will be with us till about 7:45. Let us hear your car care question. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we're at 67 degrees today. We're going to near 85. Tomorrow, we're going to be close to 90. A couple more days like that, too. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. It is a Saturday morning on CCO when we talk cars, most likely your problems you're having with your car, your truck, your van. Nick Stoffel is with us from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And again, Nick, we always like to ask you a little bit of information of where are you guys located in case somebody needs your help.
Yes, sir. As you know very well, you can always reach out, give us a call. We'll help you with a question. You don't have to come all the way to see us. And if you have a question, you can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you do want to come see us, you're more than welcome to. We'll say hi. We won't bite. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, which is the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And finally, you can check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. And Nick will give you that information before he takes his leave about 7:45 or so. Call us or text us with your car care question, 651-461-9226. Here is another text. It's not a question. It's a follow-up from a call or text we had in previous shows. I have a follow-up text that says, on the gas smell coming from my Ford Maverick, the plastic gas tank needed to be replaced because it was warping. I didn't realize that there are plastic gas tanks. Is that, for the weight, I suppose, huh?
And actually, most are, and that can happen a lot of times where the fuel tank, the fuel pump goes into the top and there's a threaded cap. If that somehow gets distorted or warped, as they said, it might not seal up and allow a little of that fuel vapor to leak, which, unfortunately might be a bit of a costly repair, but probably something you do not want to ignore, obviously.
Yeah, very good. Here's a question, but we hear from time to time, and I've known people, well, and me too. Mice can cause so much damage to the wiring in a vehicle. Wiring an engine compartment, a listener is texting, a cabin filter by nesting and chewing wires and nesting. Is there anything you can do to help rid or keep mice from your car that is parked outside other than getting and investing in a herd of cats? We get this from time to time. And boy, those critters can do a lot of damage. You see that all the time. You've seen that in one of my vehicles.
We do, and we have, and maybe not this week with the forecast, but we're into that season where the mice are looking to come in and nest in, and they often try to find a way into the garage. So this is the time of the year you have to start thinking bird seed or any dog food or any kind of thing that they might be eating that needs to be sealed up, packaged up to try to prevent them from moving in. You know, clean out your garage. And as far as your vehicle parked outside, try to find a different place to park. You know, I mean, a lot of times you're parked up on the side of the driveway next to the, you know, the trees and such. You know, it's an easier way for them to access it. There's a lot of products you can try, a lot of remedies, you know, and I don't want to get into all of those, but there's a lot of things you can try. So it's probably worth trying a few of those. But yeah, this is the time of the year where we will start seeing the mice making their way in, and then unfortunately they make their way into our vehicles. And so just got to keep it clean. And if you have an issue, get it resolved before it becomes a bigger issue for sure. Because like you said, they can start nesting, start eating up some wiring. It can become a very costly and unfortunate situation.
Another critter, red squirrels, another one that can do a whole lot of damage. I know someone, I'm not sure if they did it or a shop did it for them, because they had all sorts of problems with critters coming in. Someone or a shop, as I said, put, I don't know, it was hardware cloth or whatever, somehow in the cabin filter area, you know, behind the glove compartment, they were able to put some mesh, wire mesh. At least it kept them out of there, but you really can't, you can't cover up your engine compartment, can you? Can you?
No, and, you know, like, you know, even like that with that, that mesh, that's a, you know, it seems like really a good idea, but you have to be careful where you're putting it. You don't want to have it fall its way into the blower motor.
Yeah.
You don't want to restrict airflow too much. So just
that's
be very cautious on anything that you do try. As I said, there's a lot of products out there that will help some, you know, the mice, and, you know, they're still here, and we've been doing this for a long time. So all we can do is try to keep them out of our spaces.
And a friend of mine, Mike Laughlin, a pest control buddy of mine, has told me years ago on the air that mice start feeling the fall coming in. They start coming into homes, et cetera, in July. So it's not something we have to wait till below zero for those critters to come in. So, yeah, that's a tough call. All right, let me look at another text. We have a bunch of them. Good morning, Denny. I wanted to thank Nick for fixing my Honda Pilot this week. Well, that's nice. My 2014 F-150 just started making a clicking sound after I turn off the ignition, sometimes when running, too. It lasts for 10 seconds, then stops. Noise comes from the dash area on the driver's side. Any idea what that could be?
Likely, I'm going to guess this with one of the mode or temp doors with that HVAC system. You know, there's little actuators that will move those flaps to control the location of the air, the temperature of the air. Oftentimes, the gearing will get stripped, creating a clicking noise. So it can be something like that. There might be a relay that's cycling in there. If you're noticing it affecting anything within the vehicle, obviously make a note of that so they can focus on that area. But just kind of pay attention to it. Maybe next time it's in for service, mention it. They can drive it and try to, you know, park it and have the same thing happen and try to locate the source of the noise and figure out why that's happening.
Okay. This is a listener, Nick, says they have a 2000 Buick LeSabre. The message says on the dash that I have a loose gas cap. I replaced it with a new cap. Still says loose cap. Any idea, or is there a way to reset the message display?
There may be a reset procedure, but I think oftentimes what that cap light is telling us, because it can't see the cap, obviously, is that there's a very small evaporative system leak, which oftentimes would be the cap. But there's other things in that system that could create that. So I would probably have somebody scan the vehicle, see if there's any other fault code stored, maybe run an evap test, try to find the source to see what's going on, if it is the cap or if there's another solenoid or valve that's leaking a little bit to create that that warning to keep popping up on you.
Okay. This texter, by the way, our number is, if you want to call, by the way, and chat with Nick, great, or just send a text, 651-461-9226. 2015 Nissan that occasionally, not every time, will show on the dash the key not detected and will prevent the car from starting. The fob battery is only 4 months old. What do you think is causing this?
I would still try a new fob battery. If that doesn't resolve it, try your other key and then see what happens there. We need to try to, you know, isolate what's going on. So if the key fob battery fixes it, you know, a lot of times you put a new battery, but it's been on the shelf somewhere for a long time, you know, and they're small, low capacity. So it's possible that's all it is, and likely that's all it is. If that's not the case, try your other key. If it's happened with both keys, now we have the pause and say, okay, there's something within the vehicle, the responder there. A little tip, though, if it keeps not seeing the key and the car won't start, if you hold the key right next to the push button, it should, as a default, still work. You know, either you're close enough proximity that you don't need the amplifier of the battery, where the key fob and the receiver inside the dash will see each other and the car will start. Now, that's not a long-term fix, obviously, but if you're in a pinch, that'll get the car going another time for you.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, Nick, hang on. We'll take a break and talk about that hot forecast coming up, and then we have more show to come. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. From News Talk A3O, this is WCCO. And we're back at it, talking cars, more likely problems you're having with your car, your truck, your van, and you want some answers. You got to bring it in for service, but you want to know what could be ailing in the meantime. Why don't you call Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive right here? Or send a text if that's easier. 651-461-9226. And we have more texts to get you going here, Nick. Moore just jumped in. All right. 2025 Mazda plug-in hybrid. Wondering, Texter says, about oil changes where at least half the miles are driven with the electric motor. How often should that be changed on the main engine? I would think the manual probably will tell you.
As I say, you should still follow the maintenance interval. And I do know that it does cycle, but it started and stopping a lot more, the engine is. So it's probably a similar interval. You know, maybe you can stretch it a little bit. You know, I want to be careful because, you know, what happens is that we don't do it and we forget about it. Then we don't do it, and that's a bigger problem. And, you know, it's pretty inexpensive maintenance. So I would check the owner's manual, read up on it, you know, maybe get on some forums and see what people are doing. But I wouldn't veer too far from it, honestly, because I'd hate to run the risk of having some sort of mechanical problem with the engine that could have been prevented with a little bit of maintenance.
Yeah. 2015 Terrain. Question is, do today's smaller engines tend to use oil? This particular 2.4-liter uses about a quart between oil changes. Can that be, quote, normal for that particular vehicle?
Well, unfortunately, we're seeing more of that where
really?
Engines do use a bit of oil. I just think the tolerance has gotten so tight and the demand on the oil has become so much more with the variable valve timing. That we're just seeing more of that where oil's being used up a bit. And so that's when we fall into follow the interval. And that's why I know some of these mileage intervals have extended, but we're firmly at 5,000 miles on a synthetic oil. If you still use conventional oil, probably 3,000 miles. And that's just based on the fact of what we see every day. We're doing a lot more timing chain type jobs. Like I said, the variable valve timing, there's solenoids, there's passages, there's a lot of stuff that we see, as a result of oil buildup, sludge, excessive heat, lack of lubrication. And I just think it's the simplest thing you can do is get on a regular routine, set a reminder in your phone even, you know, because we all look at our phones. And if you have a reminder in your phone to remind you to get your oil change, you're more likely to do it. So it's cheap maintenance, and we should all do it on a regular basis.
Absolutely. This listener via text says, this, Nick, I have a 2016 GMC Sierra that randomly throws a cold start rough idle fault code. Any idea what might be needed to resolve that issue?
It depends on what the code is. I understand it's a cold start rough idle, but there's a series of numbers there that are going to tell us what's happening. Is it running too lean, too rich? You know, if it's misfiring a little bit, if there's something with the fuel system, there's a lot of variables there that could affect an engine, especially on a cold start. So I would say have somebody do the proper diagnosis, retrieve the fault code, see what that code is, and keep in mind, a code doesn't tell you, oh, this is broken. A code will say this particular sensor is not working properly. It's not seeing the right reading. It's running too lean, too rich. It has a misfire. It doesn't say the spark plug's bad. It doesn't say that the oxygen sensor's bad. It says that the oxygen sensor is not reading properly. Now, could those components be faulty? For sure they could. But example, with an oxygen sensor, and this happens, it'll say, oh, look, it's running too lean. People think the sensor's bad. Well, actually, there's a little pinhole leak in the exhaust just upstream from that sensor, so we have air sneaking in there. Well, now it's going to have too much oxygen in, so it's going to think that it's running too lean. Well, in reality, we have something misfeeding it, and so it's getting the wrong information. So we have to be careful not to assume that these codes tell us exactly what's wrong. It's a symptom, gives us a clue where to look to do the proper diagnosis to find out what is really wrong.
All right. I'm looking at another text. Oh, boy. It's a 2023 Hyundai, and in the last 2 weeks, texter says, every so often I get a slight whiff of something that smells like fish. Now, my car is clean. I thoroughly checked everything, including under the hood. I checked the filter. It was clean. I did find a flattened mouse that was completely dried out in that crease where the hood closes by the windshield. It seemed too old to be responsible for the smell. I completely vacuumed everything. A couple days later, I got that faint smell of that again. Where else can I look? Man, what would you do about that?
Well, at the base of the windshield is where the air intake is for heating and cooling system. You know, the cabin filter is going to be in between there and the blower motor. I wonder if something didn't make its way into the heater box. It might be worth removing the cabin filter, getting in with a mirror and a flashlight to see if you can see anything. You know, the fact there was one there makes me wonder if there's not more. Not necessarily true. I don't want to cause alarm, but I think we need to look a little bit deeper. Removing the cabin filter and getting a look inside that heater box as much as you can might be the first step.
Yeah, I remember years ago, not the car I have now, but there was a faint kind of a mildew smell. And I looked online, which can be dangerous, I know. And I was running the car with plenty of outside air, and I sprayed in a can of Lysol, not maybe the whole can, through that intake you were suggesting there. And I always change cabin filters anyway. And that worked. Whatever it was totally disappeared. I'm not sure what caused that. But, yeah, I think you may be onto something because sometimes there's not just one mouse. But I don't know that particular
smell.
That scares
me. Where there's one, you always worry there's 100,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No, and that's probably not true. But there are also, like you mentioned with the Lysol, there are products out there, too. And, you know, they're really easy to follow the instructions. They tell you to run the vehicle, get the recirc, you know, and all that. And you can spray that at the base of the windshield where the air intake is to kind of help sanitize, I guess, to some extent, that whole system. So it's not a bad thing if you have a little bit of an off smell, get the cabin filter replaced, clean everything up. When those parts stores sell those products, and you can absolutely do it yourself. Just in very simple instructions. Run that product through the air conditioning and heating system there, especially as we're rolling into the winter months where we'll have that heat on all the time. It might not be a bad idea to kind of freshen things up before it gets too cold out.
Yeah, good idea. I was telling you about this, quote, mechanic-looking guy that's on video. They was giving all these different tips and warnings and advice. And I would say they were pretty good from what I would see. But he was suggesting that you lubricate from time to time all of your latches, door hinges, tailgate, all that stuff on your vehicle. I think he was basically suggesting like white lithium grease. But what do you think about that idea?
You know, I don't think it's a bad idea. Just make sure whatever product we're doing doesn't collect the dust and the dirt, because then you start gumming things up, and then all of a sudden you have a situation where they don't latch. You know, your door won't close. So maintenance and moderation, all these little, you know, do-it-yourselfers, it's a great idea. You and I have talked about the door lock cylinder before, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good idea to stick the key there and move that a little bit. You know, all these systems in our vehicles that we don't use all the time that we're expecting them to work when we want them, it's probably fair enough to check those items and make sure they're going to, you know. Spare tires, they're full of air. I mean, all these little things are important. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong with putting a little lubricant on there to make sure it's working freely and it's clean of any kind of obstruction. Just don't overdo it, because that's what we often see, is that someone's trying to do good. They do too much, and then we create a bigger problem, which could have been easily avoided.
Yeah, I did that very thing on my wife's SUV. I was lubricating the back, the tailgate latch, and then I came back and thought, boy, this is tough to get open. And, you know, whatever I used was the wrong lubricant, and it did collect gunk. So, yeah, what do they say, less is more? And use the right product, and I think
absolutely
you're onto something. Another thing this guy suggested, and I know we got to run, is to clean your wiper blades often. I think he was just suggesting, some people suggest like rubbing alcohol, but he was suggesting just like a dish detergent or something like that. Do that by hand from time to time. What do you think of that?
Once again, I don't think it's a bad idea. I wouldn't go heavy on the soap because we don't want to make a streaky or put a film on the windshield, obviously. But a light product, a little Windex even, and a clean paper towel, and I think you'll be amazed. You see the stuff that comes off of your wiper blade, and you know, as we transition into the seasons, you know, all these little things probably do help those wiper blades last a little longer. You know, it seems kind of silly and simple, but you know, if it takes just a couple seconds and saves you a set of blades, which could be probably $40, it seems like it's worth it.
And like you and I suggest, in the dead of winter, don't use your wiper blades to scrape off the ice. Right. Don't do it.
Doesn't matter how many times you say that, your wipers are not intended to clear your windshield from snow. That heavy snow will break something. And after the first heavy snow, we'll have a few cars coming in and, you know, nobody turned on their wipers, but somehow they don't work. And the other thing, too, is if you're going through a drive-through bank or fast food and you go to put your window down, it doesn't go down, make sure you put it back up. And what I mean by this, because you put tension on that regulator, and we've seen it in the past where when things warm up, all of a sudden my window just fell down. Well, because you had that tension on it for a period of time, and it's a rare occasion. You know, it's not going to happen necessarily all the time, but it can happen. So you keep hitting the down button, and, oh, this window doesn't work. Well, make sure you hit the up button once, at least to take the tension off if it is frozen in place.
Good point. Good point. Nick, we got to run. Let's tell folks how to get in touch with Lloyd's Automotive.
Yes, sir. If you have a question, you can reach us at 651-228-1316. And on this beautiful warm week, if you're out walking on Grand Avenue, come check out our plants. They're looking very festive. We're at 982 Grand Avenue. And then you can find all our information on our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
All right, Nick, thanks so much for the help. Let's join forces next week and have a cool week. And I'm sure we'll talk about AC, among other things, when we get back. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Danny.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City,
I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere.
I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.